A very good evening to one and all. Can we lower the volume? How to lower? Sorry, this one? This one? Yeah. Because I have a loud voice. As I'm standing here, I'd like to thank God for bringing me here. Because, you know, while I was applying for visa, it took time for me to take my visa approved, and I thank God. And as I entered my room also, I'm very thankful. You know, as I just entered my room, I remembered one time when I was invited to speak in a children's camp. And, you know, the committee of the camp decided that I would stay with the children, around 15 children. And, you know, it's good that before speaking to the camp, you have to go through the Word of God, at the same time prepare your heart. So the first message was in the morning, around 8 something. But you know, the children were very active because that was the first time some of them that were not in the room, not outside of their house. So the children keep on jumping until 2 o'clock in the morning. So I was inside, how could I prepare my message? So when they sleep around 2 o'clock, I wake up around 4 o'clock, prepare my message. So the following day, I was very tired. So the following day, around 4 o'clock, I asked them to play. You run, keep on running. So 6 o'clock, they sleep already. I need to thank the Lord. Let us bow our heads and ask God's blessings. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives. Many times we are unfaithful to you, but you are so faithful to us. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us, Lord, to make us clean and pure as we continue to sing songs to you and study thy word. Lord, without you, I am nothing. Be with me, Lord. I pray that the words that will be preached tonight will touch the hearts of the youth of Bethel BP Church. And I pray, Lord, that throughout this camp, they will learn to love you more. They will learn to pray to you more. At the same time, they will learn to follow you and serve you, Lord. I even pray in my heart that out of this youth, some of them will decide to serve thee full-time in the ministry. Because serving you is a great privilege. So once again, Lord, thank you for this time that we can read your word. Help us to understand and keep it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open the Bible to Matthew chapter 16. We start reading from verse 13 to 24. And please bear with me. When you talk to me, most of the time, I couldn't absorb 100% what you say to me because of the pronunciation, but I'll try very hard and pray. So what? Can I beg you? Maybe what? So just bear with me, Okay, let's read. We start verse 13. I'll read verse 13. You respond, then we will read together verse 24. Verse 13, I'll read. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14. Verse 15, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Christ, 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjuna, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that I be of God, that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse 24 together. Then Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross. The main focus of our study tonight is verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, when I receive your email that this is your camp theme, well, I knew that you are very creative how you put the discipleship into a ship called a disciple, then ship, you see? And below, I saw the camp theme. The text, no? Your theme, the text. And the passage of Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 is a parallel passage of Luke, you see? And then, welcome aboard to the discipleship. So the first thing that came to my mind, how to aboard a discipleship, see? I believe that tonight, as we gradually unfold our text tonight, we will be able to answer this question, how to aboard the discipleship. At this point of time, at this juncture, the disciples had seen the miracles of Jesus Christ. At this point of time, the disciples witnessed the perfect life of Christ. The disciples heard the teachings of Christ, which was unparalleled and unequal. That's why they believe that Jesus is God at the same time Jesus is the Messiah. Look at verse 15. Jesus said, He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A plus answer, isn't it? And in verse 21, Jesus told them with regard to his impending death. You know, disciples, I'm going to die soon. I'm going to Jerusalem. I will die and, you know, be raised later. Peter said, No, Lord, you are our Savior. You will save us. You should not die. That cannot be. You know, not just Peter. The people of Israel were thinking that the Messiah will be a warrior king that would, you know, that would take them out from the bondage of the Roman Empire. That was the mindset of the people of Israel. And Jesus Christ gave a strong rebuke to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. It doesn't mean that Peter became Satan, but the fact that he hinders the work of God, he works like Satan. And he continued in the second part of verse 23. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that are be of God, but those that be of men. You offended me, Peter, because you think like the world. You speak like the world. You don't think and speak like me. How does the world think? The world think the crown without the cross. The world think the glory without sacrifice. They think the reward without any hard work. That's how the world thinks. Now, let's come to our text, verse 24. It starts with the word then. The word then here is very important. It tells us that after Christ rebuked Peter, immediately he said these words. Because the situation is quite serious. Just remember, you are a disciple of God and you don't think like God thinks, but you think like the world. It's something serious. So Jesus immediately then tells us that Jesus immediately taught them a lesson. What did Jesus say? Verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I want you to take note that our text tonight is a statement of condition. It's a condition. It starts with letter F, right? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And this statement of condition is made up of two parts. The first part is, if any man will come after me. That is the first part of the statement. The second part of the statement is, what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In order that the first part of the statement will be fulfilled, you have to do these three things. What? Deny, take up, and follow me. That is very important. You want to abhor the discipleship? You want to be a faithful Christian? You have to do these things. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You know, I left my place in the 22nd of September. Guess what was the first thing I did when I was yet in my place? I said goodbye to the church. I said goodbye to my loved ones. Then after I say bye-bye, I pick up my bag. I carry my bag. After I carry my bag, I continued my trip. That's why I'm here. You see? Did you notice that the sequence of our text tonight is like that? If you want to abhor the discipleship, the first thing you do is you say goodbye to yourself. If you couldn't say goodbye to yourself, you cannot abhor the discipleship. And after you say goodbye to yourself, you have to carry the cross. And after you carry the cross, you follow Christ. These are God-given terms to us in order that we could get inside to the discipleship. So the first term that I want to submit to you based on our text tonight is self-denial. Self-denial. The starting point in order that I could enter into the discipleship is to say goodbye to myself. Self-denial is a very important requirement in order that you and me could become a disciple of Christ. But the question is, why it is necessary to deny myself? Why? Well, before I would like to answer this question, allow me to show yourself to you. And I want to see myself also, you see? You know, Adam and Eve were created perfect without sin. In fact, after the creation, God said, what? Very good. Good is enough already. But God put a word good, put very before good, very good. So man was created sinless, perfect. But after the fall, there was a drastic change in man. Before, there was nothing bad in man. After the fall, there was nothing good in man. There was a drastic change. Sin affected our minds. We think evil continuously in Genesis. And because of sin, our heart becomes deceitful. And because of sin, our choices is inclined to do things, or our choices are inclined to choose things that are evil. Just one proof that sin has affected our mind. Well, this tomorrow morning, you try to memorize one chapter. Any book, it could be Old Testament or New Testament, one chapter. It will take time, no? It's difficult to memorize the Word of God. But you see, when you see things that are sensual, when you see things that are lustful, no need to memorize, no? It will just stick in your mind. So, sin has totally affected the faculties of our soul. It affects our mind, it affects our hearts, it affects our choices. But when we ask forgiveness of our sins, God will forgive us. And we are no longer
servant of sin, but servant of righteousness. However, you must remember this. Though Christ lives in your heart, the root of sin is still in us. That's why we have the inclination to love wealth. We have the inclination to lust for power. We have the inclination to seek for man's approval and all appetite of man's glory. This is myself and this is yourself. We are sinful. For a while, can we open to Mark chapter 7? Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. I'll read. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. For from within, from inside us, from within, out of the heart of man proceeded evil thoughts. Adulterers, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. You see, we are all potential robbers. We are all potential thieves. We are all potential fornicators because sin has affected us. This is our ugly self. But it's sad to say, we love ourselves very, very much. Isn't it? Let's say, for example, and I believe you will do it. This church camp, later I believe you will take group picture taking. You see? You will take group picture taking. We will develop the picture. Then after that, each of you will be given each copy. Then the moment you see the picture, I'm sure you will not look at me. Right? When you receive the picture, where is Brother Rubino? Where is the Filipino guy? No, you won't do that. The moment you receive the picture, you will look at yourself, isn't it? Then when you look at yourself, really, if you're a girl, really, I'm beautiful. If you're a man, I'm really handsome. Then you start to look at people beside you, right? She's also beautiful. He's also handsome, but I think I look better, you see? Then you start to compare yourself to all the people in the picture. It stands out that you are the best. I'm not just talking to you. I'm just also talking to myself, no? I'm not an angel. I'm a man. We love ourselves so much, though we are sinful. Is it necessary to deny ourselves? Of course! No wonder Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to follow me, you must what? Deny yourself. The word deny here means you disown yourself. You subjugate your personal interests and enjoyments. That is the meaning of the word self-denial. And the verb deny here, when Jesus said deny, it is not a request. Hey, youth from Bethel, BP Church, please tell you deny yourself. No, that is not the emphasis. It's a command. You deny yourself. And when it's a command, you have no choice. It's not an option. You have to obey as far as God is concerned. You must deny yourself if you want to be a passenger of the discipleship. You know, when I receive my name tag, I'm already a passenger. You see? All of us are passengers, isn't it? But the question is, have you denied yourself? You ask yourself and be honest. Or else you're just a passenger by name, but by heart, you are not a passenger of the discipleship. It's a command. And the emphasis here is that you must deny once and for all. There must be a point, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to be a faithful Christian, there must be a point of denial in your life. And the moment you deny it, for the rest of your life, you must live a life of self-denial. That is the emphasis of this word. If you are a genuine Christian, If you are truly a passenger of the discipleship, there must be a radical change in you. You could not be a disciple and remain to be a drug addict and alcoholic. You could not be a disciple of Christ and remain to be a covetous and adulterous people. You could not be a faithful Christian and keep on fighting with other people. You could not be a disciple of Christ and full of pride in your heart. There must be a radical change in you. Deny yourself. This camp is a memorable camp for me because the environment is something new. In Philippines, when we have a camp sometime, in the first day we eat much food, much rice, but in the third day we realize that we don't have rice already in Philippines. And also in Singapore, when we have a camp, we go to a hotel, you see? But here it's very good. We go to a forest. No? And normally before I speak, I'll take bath, no? But here it's very cold. But I tell you, after this church camp, you go back to your home, you go back to your church, and still you don't want to deny yourself. This camp is useless. You must learn to deny yourself.
You know, by the grace of God, we started a church in my place for 2 months. 2 months, 2 months young or 2 months old. 8 o'clock in the morning, I will go out from my home and evangelize people and come back in the late of night. And there are people whom I invited to church and said, what's the purpose of going to your church? What's the purpose of going to a Protestant church? My life is better than their life. You see? One of the reasons why people are not going to church, why we are not effective in our evangelism, why we are not effective in bringing people to church, because what? We still love ourselves. Just imagine you call yourself Christian, and when people look at your life, when non-believers look at your life, they said, my life is better than him. Shame on us. That's why we need to deny ourselves if we want to be a faithful Christian, if we want to abhor the discipleship. I hope that you would open your heart tonight and allow the Word of God to work in your heart and be a person who denies yourself. Martin Luther was the man who sparked the Reformation. I believe you know him. Martin Luther wrote 95 statements, and he nailed it in a Catholic church. Those 95 statements are against the Roman Catholic teaching, against the practices of the Roman Catholic. And you know what was the fourth statement? A genuine Christian must learn to hate himself. The fourth statement of Martin Luther. In other words, self-denial is a spiritual necessity. Sometimes we look very spiritual because on Sunday, we bring Bible to the church. We attend prayer meeting. And our neighbors knew that we are Christians. But how do you value yourself? Are you still holding on your negatives? Are you still enjoying the pleasure of the world? I tell you, the deepness of your self-denial is the foundation of your faithfulness to God. Can we open for a while John 12? But when you open John 12, be careful to come back to Matthew chapter 16. John chapter 12, verse 24. I'll read. You there? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. You must learn to deny yourself. When you feel contented of any food, any clothing, any money, any climate,
any society, that is self-denial. When you never record your good works and you love to be unknown, that is self-denial. Is there anyone here who wants to be unknown? Sometimes when we do good, we want to let people know, we want even to proclaim, we want even to write in the bulletin board that I'm doing this, I'm the one doing that. We want to record our good works. If you don't record your good works, if you want to be unknown, that is self-denial. When you see your brother in Christ, when you see your sister in Christ having his meat, having his need wondrously met, and you could rejoice with him honestly in spirit, though your needs are greater and still unmet, that is self-denial. When you are corrected and you receive it honestly and ready to be corrected inwardly and outwardly, that is self-denial. Friends, how deep and how far have we denied ourselves? Self-denial is very important. Look at verse 24 again, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and what? Take up the cross. The second term that I want to submit to you tonight after self-denial is cross-bearing. Cross-bearing is the second term. You know, if you take note, self-denial is something that we try to unload ourselves. But interestingly, after we unload something, we have to load something. We have to carry something. That is to carry the cross. And I want to tell you, who are those people who is able to carry the cross? Those people who have denied themselves. These words are connected. If you are a person who can deny yourself, if you are a person who is not willing to deny yourself, to be frank with you, you are not qualified to carry the cross. You know, sometimes there are times that we carry something and then we transfer it to another place. Let's say, for example, you have a computer. You put somewhere else. Then you said, I want to transfer my computer. So you carry your computer, you put in another place. See, there are also times we carry something, then we throw it into the dustbin. But here, in our text, we carry something. And after we carry that, we put it in ourselves. And the moment you put it in yourself, it becomes yours. Look at verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up what? His cross. His here shows what? Possession. It becomes yours. And in Luke, in your theme, it is what? To carry your cross what? Daily. It's daily. That's why I told you earlier that as far as denial is concerned, it's something that you have to deny at this point. At the same time, it's once and for all. You continue to deny yourself. Because every day, you have to carry the cross. There are people in the ministry, in the very beginning of the ministry, there are persons who deny themselves. Looks very humble and looks very effective because they deny themselves. But along the way, they started to take back what they have denied. You see? It's very important. You know, back in Philippines, our politics is so dirty. During election, the politicians will buy your vote. It's money contest. So if you don't have money, surely you would lose the election. But if you are a millionaire, you will win because they will buy you. So in that picture, the politicians deny themselves in the day of election, isn't it? They pay. But the moment they are in the position, what? Take back corruption. Take back corruption. So if you deny yourself and you will not deny for the rest of your life, you cannot carry the cross daily. don't think that when you enter into the discipleship, you will just keep on laughing, eating Western food, smiling until you arrive to heaven. You are certainly wrong. There are times that Jesus would allow you to pass through the fire.
You know, there are people, especially the ladies, you know, the ladies like to wear necklace, right? And then some of the necklace have the pendant, and the pendant is a cross. See? Cross, the pendant. I think you have seen it. So she said, Brother Dominino, what? Carrying the cross daily? It's not a problem for me because, you know, I have a necklace, then I have a cross pendant. Every day I carry the cross. I'm now a passenger of the discipleship. No, that is not what it meant here. The meaning of the word cross here, the cross bearing is that. You must be willing to serve God. You must be willing to suffer for God's sake, even to the point of death. That's the meaning of the word self-denial here. Oh no, I mean cross bearing here. If you are going to put godliness in the midst of a totally godless society, what will happen? Of course, there should be a negative reaction. Because godliness, you put it in the midst of a totally godless society, of course, there should be negative reaction. That's why if you want to be a passenger of the discipleship, you must be ready and prepared to face persecutions in life. When I read the biography of David Livingstone, I found out that there was a time that in Africa, for 2 days, they haven't eaten any food in Africa, including his wife and including his children. And as I continued to read the biography of David Livingstone, I realized that there was a time that his wife was almost raped by the native there of Africa. And there was also the time that the children of David Livingstone was almost eaten by the wild animals in Africa. You know why this happened? Why did this happen to the life of David Livingstone? Because David Livingstone is willing to carry the cross daily. Sometimes there are people who come to the church with this mindset. I'm going to this church. What can I get out of this church? You see? What are the benefits that this church can give me? This mindset is very wrong, I tell you. You know, there is no perfect church in this world. And if your thinking is, what can I get out of this church? Soon you will be disappointed. You leave the church. Think the other way. How can I serve God through this church? How could I serve God sacrificially through this church? In fact, it's very important to be reminded that suffering and sacrifice is part and parcel of our calling. Can we open to Philippians chapter 1? Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Okay, we will read together. Huh? Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Reading? For of Christ. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You see? It is part and parcel of our calling to suffer for Christ's sake. That's why I told you earlier that don't think that when you ride, you aboard into the discipleship, that you just keep on laughing all the way to heaven. We have to suffer for Christ. Let's go back to Matthew. But the question is, how can a loving God allow His children to suffer? A lot of people I met ask this question. Your God is loving? How can God allow you to suffer? Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Godly love, remember this statement, godly love always looks for greater good. You know, during the time when we were children, when we were yet young, we like to eat chocolate, isn't it? We like to eat chocolate, we like to eat cookies, we like to eat ice cream. Right? Is there anyone here when we were young, you don't like to eat ice cream, chocolate, and cookies? We like to eat all these things. And our mother knows very well. But did your mother give you chocolate, cookies, ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner? How come your mother didn't give you? Your mother loves you. And your mother knew that you like it. It's because your mother is looking for greater good. In the same way, if we want to be faithful to God, there are points of time that God will allow us to face testings and trials in life. But these testings and trials in life, while we follow Christ, is just a grain of sand compared to the glory of God that will be revealed in us. That verse is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Yes, indeed, salvation is free. But to be a disciple of Christ is costly. It costs your life. It costs your interest. It costs your enjoyments. Do you want to be a disciple of Christ? You must be willing to suffer for Christ. If God will put suffering in your plate, if God will put trials and testing in your plate, please do not say, Lord, I want cakes, I want chocolate, I want ice cream. Face it. Because that is one of the requirements to be a faithful Christian, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Friends, as I told you earlier, in the beginning of our message tonight, this is a statement of condition. And this statement is divided into two. The first part is, what if any man will come after me? And the second part is this, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we have these three important words, verb, deny, take up, and what? Follow me. And all these words, deny, take up, and follow me, are all imperatives. They are commands. Follow me. And who are those people who could follow Jesus? Those people who have denied himself and those people who are willing to carry the cross. It's not easy to follow Jesus. You know, let's say, for example, we walk together. You walk with me. They said, okay, let's go right. Maybe at first you say, okay, I'll go right. Then later, you want to go left. They said, okay, let's go up. How come this brother Domenico, he wants to go left, he wants to go up. Okay, we go up. Then maybe you want to go down. You say, okay, let's continue to go up until you quarrel. You know, in FABC, we are about 5 Filipino students last semester. And sometimes when we walk along Singapore, sometimes we just can't go together. Sometimes we divide our ways. We separate our ways. Why? Because one will go to the second-hand shop, one will go to the restaurant, another would want to go to somewhere else. You see, because we have our own likes and dislikes. Just imagine you want to walk with Jesus, then you are not willing to suffer for Christ, you are not willing to deny yourself, you cannot walk with him too far. That's why these verbs are linked intrinsically with each other. Before
you could follow Christ, you must, what? Be willing to carry the cross. And before you carry the cross, you are a person who denies yourself. And the emphasis of the word follow here is not just to follow and obey one time. You know, sometimes we like to, let's say for example, the door is open. Hey, friend, can you close the door? It's a command. Okay, I'll close the door. So you close the door, you obey the command. After that, you sit down. That is, you obey the command in a one specific time. The word follow here is continuous. It's like a straight line of points. So you obey, you obey, you obey until the rest of your life. It is a continuous following. And here you could translate here, deny himself and take up his cross and keep on following me. Keep on following Jesus. Friends, do you have a desire to keep on following Jesus? I want to share to you the testimony of my classmate, Korean classmate in Singapore. He's a very godly man. He's a very prayerful man. He was a Korean and he decided to sell his house in Korea and come here in Singapore. And I believe the amount of that house is quite big because the wife doesn't want to give the 10% of the proceeds of the house. They quarrel. And he came to me regarding the problem. Finally, he decided to give 20% of the proceeds of the house. In my front, he cried, "Brother," cried with tears, "Brother, it's not easy to follow the Lord. My wife can't follow the Lord." If you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to be a faithful Christian, you must keep on following Jesus. When he goes to the right, you go to the right. When Jesus goes to the left, you go to the left. When Jesus goes up, you go up. Jesus, I want to be your disciple, and I want to go straight. Since you go right, okay, you go right, I go straight, we'll just meet somewhere there. You couldn't be a disciple. It's not easy. I tell you, it's not easy. That's why you need to be humble spirit, close relationship with God. Being a missionary in church in Bugo. You know, when I speak, no, I'm quite bold, I'm quite strong, but please don't think that I'm painting myself as holy, no. You know, before I speak, I read this message, I apply it to myself, and you know, my own message will speak to me first. There are times that the Lord wants me to go right. When I look back my life, there are times that the Lord wants me to go right, and you know, I just go straight. It's very sad for a leader of the church. Then you could not keep on following Jesus. It's very sad. I want you to tell a story of a father and son story. You know, the father and son went to the beach along the seashore. And you know, the father is quite big. You know, I don't know how many pounds he was, but quite big and heavy. And the son is just around 5 years old, but the son knows already how to walk. Am I right? The 5 years old knows already how to walk, right? Okay. So they were in the beach, in the seashore. And, you know, since the father was quite heavy, the footprints of the father is so clear in the sand, okay? Then the father said, "Son, I want to tell you something. This is a command." The young son was, "What, Dad? What's your command?" "I want you go back there, you step exactly in my footsteps." "No, Dad, my legs are short and your legs is long. How could I put my feet exactly in your footsteps?" Daddy said, "This is a command. You must do that." So, you know, the dad was very strong character, so the son had no choice just to follow. So at first he stepped. Then he tried to stretch his leg. It was stretched long because the 5-year-old child. The son, okay, stretch. Then the son was able to step exactly. Come on, you continue. There are 6 more to go. Oh, it's very difficult. He continued to step. And when the son was about to fall, the father, okay, come on, son, you regain your balance, until he was able to step exactly to the footprints of his father. This is the picture of what? Following Jesus. We must walk exactly in the footprints of Christ. We must walk exactly where Jesus walked. I have a friend, a pastor's son, yet he became a drug addict. 2 years ago, I read a book about counseling. And you know, in my surprise, I read a story of a lady very active in the church, vibrantly serving the church. And what had happened is that she had a relationship with a non-Christian. The pastor advised him. The parents advised her. But with a rebellious heart, she said, no, I love the person. You know what happened? She ended up becoming a mother without a husband. There were also a group of children, Christian children, live in a very difficult life because their Christian parents decided to divorce. Just imagine that. A pastor's son became a drug addict. A lady who is very active in the church ended up pregnant without a husband. Christian parents end up divorced with a wife. It's a shameful thing to happen. You want to be faithful in Christ? You want to be a disciple of Christ? You want to be a passenger? Please don't let this thing happen to you. It's a shame. You know why these things happen to them? Because they did not walk exactly where Jesus walked. They did not step in the footprints of Christ. But instead, they brazenly walk not in the footprints of Christ. Though the footprints of Christ is so clear, I don't want to go there. I don't want to step in the step of Christ. I don't want to follow Christ. What happened? Destruction came to their lives. Especially you youth. Whenever I minister to the youth, my heart is so consumed to minister to you because I destroyed my life while I was in my youth. I was addicted to drugs in my youth. If not by the grace of God, I'm either dead today or in the prison. The moment you destroy your life in your youth, it's very difficult for you to experience a successful life in your adult states. And Satan is very subtle, and you know, he is very clever where to get you. Because when you are in your youth, you want to adventure things. When your parents advise you, yeah, mom, I'm big already now, you see? Please be careful. Keep on following Jesus. Walk where Jesus walked. Can we open for a while Proverbs chapter 16? Verse 25. No need to rush. Just slowly. Take a breath for a while because I shouted quite long, right? I'll read for you. Please underline this verse. Underline then the lesson of this verse. Put it in your heart. Make it a spiritual lesson. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. I'll read. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let us take the example of a lady, a Christian lady, who ends up being a mother
without husband.
Look at the verse again. Look at the verse closely, please. Eh? There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When you enter, when you are in the gate, when you are in the beginning of the way, it looks attractive. Very attractive. And when you get in, you enjoy. You see? When you are in the middle, still enjoying, still attractive. When you are more than the middle, still enjoying, still attractive. Now look at the verse closely. When will you know that that way will bring you to death? When? Which point? Beginning, middle? In the end. Have you seen that? I believe this Christian lady, when he started the relationship, he enjoyed. He didn't believe, he didn't expect that he will end up there. Just imagine, you will know that you are going to destruction at the end of the way. You cannot go back anymore because the damage is already there. I believe my friend who is a pastor's son, he didn't believe that he will end up a drug addict. He enjoys first. He enjoys. But at the end, he realized that his way is wrong. There is a need. You must keep on following Jesus. It's not easy. It's not easy.
John chapter 1. No, I just read to you. John chapter 8 verse 31 says, you can write the reference. John chapter 8 verse 31 says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. Your decision making in life should be based on the Bible. You know, we have this joke in Philippines because Philippines, my country, is more than 90% Roman Catholic. And we have this joke regarding the Bible. You know, the Bible of the Roman Catholic smells like cockroach. Because, you know, they don't carry their Bible. They just put it in the closet. And in the closet, there are cockroaches, right? So, the Bible of the Roman Catholic smells like cockroach. You know, the Bible of the Christian smells like armpit. Because we go to the church. I'm telling you this story because it is very sad. You keep on carrying your Bible, you see? You keep on carrying your Bible. Then your decision-making in life is not based on the Bible. What for? Don't carry your Bible. And even I'm speaking to myself, there are times that I made my decision totally out of the Bible. I am a Bible college student. You see? Sometimes when I make mistake, I sin against God. Sometimes I just lie down in my bed and say, Lord, what a wretched man I am. Of course, God is gracious. The moment we ask forgiveness of our sins, the Lord will wash our sins away and restore us back. But remember, in every sin we do, there is a consequence. Because if our focus is just in John chapter 9, the moment I make mistakes, the moment I sin, when I come to God, He will forgive me. So it's easy. Sin, sin, sin. Lord, forgive me. Okay. Sin, sin, sin. Okay. You forget something. And every sin you do, there is an exact consequence. You know, by the grace of God, I am teaching God's word. But when I look back, I was a drug dependent for 18 years. And you know, sometimes I'm alone, I read the word of God. I say, Lord, when I face all the consequences, please give me the grace. Because it doesn't mean that you are forgiven, that there is no consequences. Please take note of this. How to abort a discipleship? I believe at this point of time you know already. If you don't know meaning, you are not listening to me. What is the first requirement? Deny it. Very good, you're listening. Second is that cross. You must be willing to suffer for Christ. When God puts suffering in your plate, do not say, Lord, give me Pizza Hut. No? be willing to suffer for Christ. And finally, keep on following Jesus. And remember, all these verbs is like a chain. They are connected to each other. The moment you do not deny yourself, forget about suffering for Christ. Forget about keep on following. This is the starting point. The moment you deny, you can take up the cross. The moment you deny yourself and take up the cross, that's the time that when God said, okay, you go to the right. Okay, Lord, I could go. I will go to the right because I have denied and carried the cross. Okay, you go up. Okay, Lord, I have denied myself. I have carried the cross. You see? I hope that the lesson you learned today does not only stay in your mind. You know, when you are there and I'm here, of course, you could hear me. Right? Because I am a very loud speaker. But you know what? If you could hear me and what I taught you tonight will just stay in your head, the moment you walk and you hit something, you will forget. From head, you allow it to travel in your hearts. I remember one child, he told his mother, son, you go to the store, you buy toothbrush, you buy candy, and you buy oil. So the child said, toothbrush, oil, candy. Toothbrush, oil, candy. The child hit something. He said, candy, oil. Candy, the child had forgotten the toothbrush. So when he went to the store, said, how come you're very sad? Oil, candy. What's the one? So the store seller smiled. I remember. What is the English of, what's this one? What do you call this one? Teeth. Can you give me toothbrush? Friends, what I have taught you tonight, please allow it to travel in your hearts, that we could keep in our hearts and we might not sin against God. So tonight we learn something. If you apply it, you become passengers of the discipleship. Be willing to deny yourself, willing to suffer for Christ, and keep on following Jesus. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for how you have taught us tonight from the Word. Lord, we are born sinners, yet we love ourselves very, very much. Lord, give us the grace to deny ourselves so that we can carry the cross. And Lord, give us the grace to deny ourselves and carry the cross so that we could keep following thee, Lord, and be your faithful disciple. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.